This is the first episode of the Extensive Reading Podcast with my friend Travis. Hi, Travis.
Hello, 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 Jose. I'm here with Jose. Warm welcome to everyone listening. And a thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
So you're listening to the Extensive Reading Podcast at erpodcast.wordpress.com, where we'll be publishing episodes every Thursday. Is that right? Well, we'll be talking about extensive reading, hopefully bringing in many people who can share their ideas and different projects. We'll be contributing to the debate, if possible. Is extensive reading useful at all? Does it have to be combined with intensive reading? Is it good for accuracy only or for something else?
Yeah.
Also, hopefully, it should become a resource for anybody who's willing to start an extensive reading program. That's what I can think of.
Sounds good. Jose, you approached me about starting this podcast. What's your background with extensive reading?
Oh, yeah, the embarrassing part. Okay, I have to say from the beginning that I'm really into incidental acquisition of a language much more than learning, which is conscious, and this brought me to extensive reading sort of naturally a few years ago. I work at a junior high school in Hirakata in Osaka in Japan, and where I teach English, and 2 years ago I started an extensive reading program. Before that, I worked at a different school where we also had an extensive reading program. And I've been, lately I finished a dissertation on extensive reading, although I don't have any feedback yet, so I don't know.
We're waiting for that.
Yeah?
We're waiting for that.
And I think that's about it. Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. I think for myself, you had mentioned that you're really interested in incidental learning, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to be pained, but I didn't say incidental learning. I said incidental acquisition.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you. You're right. Sure. I think myself personally, I'm more, at least for adult learners, I think there's a real necessity for explicit teaching.
Sure.
But I don't think that in any way negates the role of reading, of extensive reading. I think that's still really necessary. And I'm interested, one of the reasons I'm interested in doing this podcast is to get a deeper understanding of how ER can play a big part in language acquisition, and talking to professionals in the field, people like yourself who are implementing programs. And so I think it's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, thanks for that. Hopefully. So you might be wondering what extensive, some of our listeners.
Of course.
It's very likely that most of our listeners will already know, but it might be the case that somebody doesn't know what extensive reading is or what it is about. And I don't know, Travis, if that's okay with you, we can play a little segment file.
Yeah, I have that right here. Here,
okay.
Let's set this up. Just last week here in Nara, as Jose mentioned, we are based out of Nara, Japan. There was an extensive reading conference put on by JALT, the Nara chapter, and the ER-SIG, Special Interest Group. And there we met Paul Goldberg, and he'll be giving us a little...
Who's Paul Goldberg? Did he introduce himself?
Paul Goldberg is a teacher who's, started off as a teacher who's worked here in Japan for a number of years. And I think he mentioned he's also taught in South America.
Did he?
Yeah, but anyway, he has started a company called X Reading,
virtual library.
Yeah, the virtual
X Reading's virtual library. Yeah, sorry.
And so that's kind of an online virtual library for extensive reading and graded readers. And so
we'll be interviewing him fairly soon. Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed really really positive about that. So here. He gives a brief explanation of what ER is.
Oh, okay, my name is Paul Goldberg. I'm the founder of X Reading and a major advocate of extensive reading. And I
firmly believe comprehensible input is needed, and the only way students in Japan can get comprehensible input is through extensive reading. So if you want your students to actually learn the language, they have to do extensive reading.
Well, thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul, yeah.
Yeah, I think the keywords were comprehensible input, of course, and only way. He mentioned you need comprehensible input, and the only way to get comprehensible input or to provide comprehensible input for your students is through extensive reading. And
I'm not sure about the only way.
Yeah, what do you think about that? I was going to ask.
I think I would change that to say the most practical way.
Okay.
To supply students with enough comprehensible input is through extensive reading. I think obviously we could get into this later about listening and maybe extensive listening, but today let's just stay with reading. Certainly, I think practicalities, reading is the best way to do that.
Okay. So
let's focus actually on that first word, comprehensible.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, immediately I go to Krashen and input hypothesis.
Sure.
He talks a lot about what I+1 and comprehensible input and.
Yeah, sure. You know what? We say I minus one in extensive reading. Did you know about that? No, but sorry, going back to your question about Krashen.
So he said, if I'm kind of narrowing this whole thing down to a few key points, but what he said is that input alone is sufficient for language acquisition. And he talked about...
You're talking about Krashen, right?
Krashen, okay. Right?
I've been listening recently to what he says. He says, we all acquire language one way and only one way, and it's through comprehensible input.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pretty radical about it. And I have to say, I don't think he's wrong.
I'm pretty hesitant. And so, as I said at the beginning, I don't believe it. I'll say it strongly. I don't believe it, but I don't think he's wrong in how much he stresses the necessity of comprehensible input. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, the beauty of extensive reading is that regardless of whether you think that comprehensible input is enough or it has to be complemented, I think we all agree that you need a lot of comprehensible input. And as Paul Goldberg said, the most practical way to do this, particularly here in Japan, is through extensive reading. But I have to say, we haven't really defined extensive reading.
I was just going to say that. We're still kind of dancing around this subject of extensive reading.
Yeah.
And so I think a good place to go for that is...
The principles?
Day in Bamford. So here in 2002... They published top 10 principles for teaching extensive reading. And here, I think by talking about how to teach it, we can get a pretty clear understanding of what it is.
Sure.
So let's talk through these. They first begin that the reading material is easy. Point two, a variety of reading material on a wide range of topics must be available. Learners choose what they want to read. That's 3.4. Learners read as much as possible. 0.5. The purpose of reading is usually related to pleasure, information, and general understanding. 6. Reading is its own reward. 7. Reading speed is usually faster than slower. 8. Reading is individual and silent. 9. Teachers orient and guide their students. And finally, the last one, 10. The teacher is a role model of a reader.
Yeah, it's very easy to say these last two principles. I mean, from the point of view of the teacher, it's not always easy.
Yeah, right. Easy to say, difficult to implement, right? You have a busy class, maybe you find, maybe I could be grading papers well.
No, because while students are reading. In a way, the ninth principle says you have to be supportive and you have to provide. You have to help your students, but at the same time, principle number 10 tells you that you should be a role model of a reader. And this can be interpreted as like during the periods of reading, what's called sustained silent reading.
Yes,
if you're doing it in class, you're supposed to do both things at the same time. You have to help your students and you have to be the role model of a reader. That means either you're reading graded readers so that they see that it's important that you take reading seriously, or you can help them. It's also difficult if you're here in Japan that some students will ask you a question what's this word, what's that, and then you don't want to speak in Japanese with them, right?
Of course
and,
not.
Yeah, but you can find your way through it.
I think, as you mentioned, maybe the first two points are, I think Dane Bamford kind of set those apart as being the most important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially in going back to what we were saying about comprehensible input, that comes down to the first point, the reading material is easy. And so a lot of people may confuse extensive reading with intensive reading, but one of the distinctions we make for extensive reading is that, as you said, I minus one.
Yeah.
So the reading material needs to be well within the learner's ability or knowledge.
Yep.
In terms of what, vocabulary?
Well, we tend to focus on vocabulary. Uh-huh. I'm not quite happy with that. I mean, you have to consider the overall proficiency of the language. I mean, every aspect of the language, you
mm-hmm.
might understand the vocabulary, but that doesn't imply that you're going to understand the grammar. Like, if you think of a man bit the dog, if you have the vocabulary, you're not going to get it. You're going to read the dog bit the man, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, of course, vocabulary is probably the most important thing, but I mean, there's other things that affect.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, is the writing system.
Sure, sure.
You need to get a certain automaticity in reading and what's
yeah.
called side vocabulary too.
I think that's actually one of the reasons why I do really like extensive reading is really in doing so much of it, you are building your bottom-up processing skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're developing that side vocabulary. You're developing familiarity with typography if it's different than
yeah.
say your native language, your L1. So yeah, and coming back to what you said about vocabulary, Hugh and Nation, they suggest that the learner must know 98% of all
yeah.
the words.
Otherwise it's reading pain, right?
Right.
Well, 90 below 95 would be
yeah.
reading pain. Yeah.
That's a pretty lofty goal. Or it's a high goal, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I could say it's not always black or white,
sure,
right?
Sure.
There's degrees of reading pain and degrees of understanding a text. Yeah, but it should definitely be. I mean, it's good to have that criteria. Like you could say, you can tell your students if there's more than two words per page
mm-hmm.
that you have trouble with, you should pick a book that's easier. And yeah, it's good as a reference.
Yeah, here, Day and Bamford call it the rule of hand, no more than five difficult words per page.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to that, I think when we're teaching or when we're implementing, when you're doing an ER program, no dictionaries.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, because it's important that if you're using your dictionary, you're going to be distracted
mm-hmm.
from these stories. Like when you're reading, I would say extensive reading tries or should try to model to recreate the way native speakers read for pleasure.
Okay.
Right? And that explains many of the principles.
Like, yeah, that actually is a really nice segue into the second principle about a variety of reading material on a wide range of topics.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
The point is that you're going to acquire the language when you're relaxed, when you're into something that really interests you and turns you on in a way. So.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you, Travis, you have to read this, it's excellent, but if you're not really interested in that, you're not going to learn or acquire any language from it, right? But if...
I don't know. I mean, I think...
Okay.
I think...
Yeah, you probably would, but not as much as if, say, you're interested... I know you're interested into, say, audio editing,
okay.
right? So let's say you picked up a manual in a different language and you had really interesting material there and you said, I really want to understand that. Because you chose that material, then it's likely that unconsciously you're going to pick up the language.
Yeah, okay. I think, well, what I agree with is certainly in terms of being motivated, I think
mm-hmm.
Having material that you're interested in is gonna be easier to read.
Yeah.
And maybe, like you said, you'll be more... willing apps to pick up that language, sure. But I don't think painful reading is always wrong reading.
Sure.
Or that you won't learn as much, but I think you'll learn differently, no doubt.
Yeah, you would learn. Definitely. I'm talking about
acquisition. I know. That's your word.
Yeah, this is likely to keep coming up.
Which is good. I think that's a really good a good struggle to be had. If what are we searching for? I mean, going back to Crashen, he very clearly says there's a difference between learning and acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And he values acquisition more than learning.
Sure.
Right? He says acquisition is actually developing your language skills, and what learning is developing.
It's what he uses the term monitor.
I would say explicit knowledge. Personally, I think explicit knowledge can become implicit with repetition, with practice. Mm-hmm. But I know that's another area of debate.
Yeah, it's relevant to this. My take on it is that your explicit knowledge is going to help input become comprehensible.
Sure.
So it's not going to help directly. You're not going to acquire the language consciously, but some conscious knowledge is going to make messages easier to understand to you, mm-hmm. right? So indirectly, there's room for learning and for explicit teaching. Yeah, explicit knowledge.
So going back to this wide range of topics, that's good. I think nobody would argue with having the ability to choose what to read and having a lot of choice. But how practical is it? What's the situation? Tell me.
Well, it's very, I mean, there's a beauty. I mean, something that I really value about extensive reading is that, like in my case, in class, I'm going to have students who go to a cram school after mm-hmm. after class, and students who don't. So I have students with different levels of proficiency and ability in different skills in English. And if I were to give them a regular lesson where we are all using the same material, it's going to be hard to adapt to the different levels and different abilities. Whereas
sure.
if I'm using extensive reading, I'm going to provide, I will have the enough books to give them material of different levels so they can choose mm-hmm. something at the right level. And of course, if I have enough material, as they say, a wide range of materials, they're going to be able to find something that's interesting for them. There's another advantage, sorry, that we didn't mention about this wide range of materials, is that if students, I mean, read different books, they're going to develop a better understanding of the different genre.
Certainly.
I would say that's an added advantage.
An added bonus.
The principal thing is that you should be able to find something that's interesting. And as you said, from the point of view of the practicality, if you have the books, it's okay. It shouldn't be too problematic. They say you should always have some nonfiction, like National Geographic. Uh-huh. I never see students reading this. I'm sure there are students who would be more interested in that than in fiction, but I think there's an advantage to fiction.
I agree. And I'm sure I could relate to that as a language learner myself. If I had a choice between reading nonfiction articles or books versus maybe a story, something
mm-hmm.
something exciting, I think I could wrap my head around a narrative more easily.
Yeah.
Well, or at least that might, having a story might keep me more motivated if I ran into difficulty, but. But as we said, we shouldn't. It should be well within our reading level. So
sure.
I'm talking myself into a corner.
No, both things. It has to be within your reading level, but it also has to be interesting.
So like, I think that leads us, well.
Yeah, I was going to say, just think of the telephone guide.
Yeah.
That's easy enough.
It's certainly not interesting. I think this leads us into an interesting question. I think one of the critiques of ER is, If the reading material is easy, and if you are making well graded readers,
sure.
Well, is the language authentic?
Oh, authenticity! Nice. Widow Sun.
quintessential.
Yeah, he says something like authenticity depends on what you're using the language for.
Mm-hmm.
And he would argue that there's no such thing as authenticity. I mean, a text designed for students is authentic in its purpose, right? Maybe I'm going off track.
No, I think this is perfect. This is great.
But I think authenticity would matter from a learning and not acquiring the language point of view, I think authenticity would matter because you would be sort of reproducing what you're learning, right? But from the point of view of just acquiring the language, any sentence would do, right? So if you and I are learners of Japanese, or mm-hmm. if somebody tells us about something really stupid that we're never going to use, but which is going to develop our Japanese, right? Our grammar, internal grammar of Japanese, that's valuable, right? It's not valuable in the sense that you're going to go to a convenience store and use it, right? Use the exact phrase or the exact mm-hmm. sentence, but somehow that will contribute to developing your own internal grammar of Japanese. So the moment you get to the shop or the store and you talk to the clerk, something's going to pop up. So yeah, I'm pretty radical about that.
I can see.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I don't have any problems with authenticity.
No, I don't think I do either. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with that. I think there's no issue in giving students easy texts or texts that have been made easier. Yeah. I think people often get hung up on like literature as an art form, and I agree with that, but you're not mm-hmm. lessening the art by making it more comprehensible necessarily. I think if the language was so difficult that they would have to go to a dictionary every few words, that's lessening the art.
Sure. Right?
More so than grading the level of the language to make it more comprehensible.
And of course, you have to judge graded readers, keeping their audiences in mind, right? And for their purpose. So
I think that's really important for their purpose, right?
So yeah, they have to be engaging, but they can't be compared, especially if it's an adaptation of a classic.
Yeah.
There's no point at all in comparing it. Say you're reading Robinson Crusoe. Mm-hmm. There's no point in comparing the graded reader with the original. They were written for different purposes, and yeah.
And I think the ultimate purpose of reading and doing extensive reading is not so you're staying at this level, but you want to be increasing your language capacity, increasing your language ability, so you're leveling up.
Sure.
And just like as a child, when you're reading to a child, you're not reading them Robinson Crusoe.
So sure.
You're starting them with really simple books, mm-hmm. but that's not the end goal. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. Well, thanks. Thanks for your insight on, like we said, covering those first two principles to teaching extensive reading. I hope by doing that, I certainly have gotten maybe a more clear picture on what ER is, and hopefully the listener, whoever you may be out there, is feeling.
And if not, you just go to the books. There's an article by Diane Bamford. That's it. That's where we quote. Oh.
Yeah, like we said, this is Top 10 Principles for Teaching Extensive Reading by Diane Bamford, Reading in a Foreign Language in 2002. So mm-hmm. I encourage you to definitely go check that out. It's a quick read, and it
gives you a very good idea.
A very good idea. Yeah. So.
And they're also a reference, like everybody who's doing ER knows, or it's the reference for anybody who's doing ER. You might disagree with the principles, but in order to express what you think, you still refer to the principles.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have some material on advice for whoever's going to start.
Yeah, so a program. Let's call this the practicality corner.
Yeah.
So again, like I'd mentioned earlier, this is going back to last week, the extensive reading conference here in Nara. We talked with Mark Brierly
from Shinshu University,
and with Anne Flanagan, who teaches at Ritz Meikon High School,
senior and junior high school
in Kyoto.
Yeah, where she used to run an extensive reading program that, sadly enough, has been cancelled.
Mm.
Yeah,
So we'll be hearing from them, and then we'll close out our program right after that. So here they are.
Hello, my name is Mark Briley. I'm into extensive reading. There are really three things you need for extensive reading. You need books, you need time, and you need permission to enjoy reading. Getting the books together is maybe the most challenging when you're starting, because you do need a lot of books. Time is, I think students often don't have much time, or they think they don't have much time. I think you need to spend class time reading. You need to get your students reading during the lesson. And you need to be sure that they know that they're supposed to be enjoying reading, which for a lot of students, the idea that reading is something you enjoy is a bit of an alien concept. You need to spend time getting across.
Thank you.
My name is Anne Flanagan, and I work at Ritsumeikon Junior and Senior High School. I think that, one, you need to find a community of teachers that are doing extensive reading and ask questions. Two is to attend conferences where extensive reading is being explained and, again, ask questions. And three is start small. Rome wasn't built in a day, and there are other resources where you can get books if you don't have the money to support an ER program. There are other ways that you can ask publishers for books or for samples to start a library, but see how other people have started and what has succeeded, what has failed, and how to improve. But always ask questions, and you're not alone if you want to try.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I really like what Mark said about the permission to enjoy reading, and making sure that your students understand that they should be enjoying what they're reading. And here in Japan, sometimes that's difficult.
I can enjoy my education.
Yeah, you can even make jokes, at least in Kansai. But no, seriously, it's he said books, time, and permission to enjoy reading. And the most surprising thing was his last aspect, I think.
And going with what Anne Flanagan said, I think my big takeaway there was just the community.
Mm-hmm.
There is a well-established ER community, and recognizing that and utilizing that if you're looking to start a program, realizing that there are a lot of people who have done this before you, some to great success and others to great failure. But
yeah, this podcast should be contributing to that, hopefully.
Yeah, we hope so.
And there's the Yahoo Extensive Reading Group, which is a very nice resource. You can, if you have a question, there's always people who are going to help you with that.
And also, I believe in a future episode, we'll be talking about the ERF.
Oh, yes, of course, the ER Foundation. Yeah. Probably with Mark Briley.
Speaking of which, looking ahead, next week we will be talking with Mark Briley.
Yeah, probably to be published on July 6th. And then 1 week after that, we will have somebody who's very special. I mean, who's been a leading figure here in Japan and a reference for many people, who's Atsuko Takase. And
so that'll be published
by the following Thursday, July 13th.
Okay.
If everything goes according to plan.
Yeah.
It's knock on wood. And
what else can we look forward to coming up in the next couple of months?
Well, we should be dealing with the fourth Extensive Reading World Congress, which is going to take place in Tokyo this summer, from August 4th to 6th, I think. I might be getting it wrong. We definitely need somebody to tell us about it before and after. And probably, ideally, if there was a way to make a recording during the Congress.
Now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'll be back in the US during that time, and I believe Jose, you'll be back in Spain. Yeah. So
yeah, but anyway, if somebody is out there who's got a cell phone, a mobile phone, and some willingness, yeah,
we'd be forever in your debt.
And the Congress, the, one of the, or maybe the most popular or renowned speaker there will be.
We've been talking about him the entire entire podcast so far is
Richard Day.
Richard Day.
Yeah, and yeah, for those of you who live in Nara, there's a there's something coming up with Richard Day. He's going to come to Nara. Somebody said the other day that the World Congress is actually a warming up event.
The real event is here, right in the heart of Japan.
On the Nara. 8th. If you're interested in that event, just get in touch with the JOLT chapter, the JOLT Nara chapter.
So that'll be it for our first episode, I believe.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? You feeling pretty good?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not for us to judge.
Yeah. Well, like we said, we're still getting up and running, so we appreciate your patience while we're figuring all this out and stumbling over our words. But we're looking forward to giving you a lot of interesting content here in the following weeks and months. So.
And of course, if you like to, I mean, it would be great if you could send us some comments and thoughts.
We'd
and,
love to hear from you.
And maybe also questions for us or for our list, our interviewees. And you can send that to exrpodcast@gmail.com.
That's exrpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I wanted it to be ER podcast, but it was taken.
Well, don't say that, no, because then they'll think, oh, it's ER podcast. So exrpodcast@gmail.com. And once again, where can they find us online? We're on WordPress.
That yes. Yeah, ER, no X. So erpodcast.wordpress.com.
Oh.
Would you say it again?
erpodcast.wordpress.com.
That's it. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about the confusion. yeah. We're counting on you, audience. So that's about it. So.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you again for listening. We look forward to gracing your ears next week. Happy reading. Happy reading.
Happy reading.